ที่เนี่ยที่นั่นเจ้าทำมาแบบนี้รู้แล้วนี่ชีเดี๋ยวจะได้ยูยูยูเช่ยูเช่เสียงนี่ก็สาเสียดีกันนี่ชีเลยเมื่อสุโขทัยเสียชีดังนั่นเองเนี่ยนี่ก็สาที่เกี่ยวกับโลกนั่นเองที่เกี่ยวกับโลกอันนี้เสียเรื่อยเสียเจ็บเช้ามาเสียดังเช้ามาไม่เป็นโลกเสียดังนั่นเช้ามาเดี๋ยวแล้วอันนั้นว่าสมเด็จเช้าว่าเป็นว่าสมเด็จเช้ามาเสียดังว่าสมเด็จเช้ามาจิตสุภเป็นเช้ามา
Good evening. Then we've been looking so far at the presentation of the Vaibhashika. So last time we looked at the first few outlines, and we got as far as object possessors. And so within object possessors, there are two divisions that were presented. The first is persons, and the second that of the consciousnesses. So then within that, within awareness. So within awareness, you had the division into valid and non-valid minds, and then the valid was further subdivided into direct and direct and direct valid cognizer, and as with an E, and it will come. Sometimes one just forgets the words we know, huh? 4, 5, valid cognizer, direct valid cognizer, inferential valid cognizers. Okay, so, and then the direct valid cognizers were further subdivided into 3, and that was into sense direct valid cognizers, mental direct valid cognizers, and yogic direct valid cognizers. So when we started last time, we spoke about how Vaibhashika, like all the tenets, they present a path, a basis, a path, and a result. So last time we looked at the basis. So the basis is in particular the presentation on the concealer truth and the ultimate truth, as well as the presentation on person and awareness. So all of this is included in the basis. So the basis again, the presentation on objects as well as object possessors. And then today we come on to path. We come to the presentation on path. And here with path, we will first look at the objects of abandonment and then the actual presentation on grounds and paths.
So
So what we covered last time in the presentation on Vaibhashika, this presentation on the basis, so this is actually what we've also been covering in the Lamrim this far. Because when you're looking at the basis, you remember we're saying basis is about the objects and the object possessors. So it's about ultimate truth, it's about concealer truth, it's about impermanence. And what have we been looking at in Lamrim? We've been looking at how this precious opportunity that we've attained, how it changes momentarily, how it is not stable, how it is impermanent. And we've been looking at this momentary change as well as looking at it from the perspective of the understanding of emptiness. So this whole presentation that we've covered so far in the Lamrim, is in particular this presentation on death, which is impermanence, that is what is what we've been looking at as well now in terms of the Vaibhashika, in terms of the basis.
Diniki no mohoya to edi, tell them Karajin Jogores, and the Dioyalan, Lam Casan Yamnan Mason Lalentai, Karatakores, Eti, Digo Shiadera, Salamjin Amsha, Salamjin Amsha, Panja Dinish, Panja Dinish, and the Poeg, Tablam Dinish Gomkuri, and the Dusit Dinish Gomkuri, Lucia, that is Dumba Salamin Amsha, share it.
So when you're looking at the presentation of basis, which is the objects and object possessors, so in the context then of object possessors, we saw how we can divide awareness into valid and non-valid minds. And within these non-valid minds, we have really so many mistaken minds. And when we look at our own minds, we will see how many are actually mistaken in some way. So here, of course, we have this understanding now that these mistaken minds lead to our suffering, lead to our problems. So how do we abandon these minds? What method do we have, what technique do we have to abandon these minds so as to overcome suffering, so as not to encounter difficult circumstances, not to be in situations that that lead to the arisal of these suffering minds? So that is now what we're coming to today. That is the presentation on the path. So the path first starts with what we need to abandon. And then it looks at what needs to be abandoned, how long it takes, etc. So all of that is coming today in the presentation on path. So we've looked at basis, and now we're coming to path within the three of basis, path, and results.
Then Sada Lam Sidita Dinigi and Bang Sada Lam Sedi Donajibare Nukta Salam Sidi Pancha de Poeg Gomeg Lam de Karakum Kure Sedi Namji Salamji Namja Shabasu.
So the presentation on grounds and paths. So this starts with the objects of abandonment, and then that's the first subdivision, and then we go into the actual presentation on the grounds and paths. So here within the Vaibhashika presentation, grounds and paths, have those two terms have the same meaning. So it's on the grounds and paths that we engage in the abandoning of the objects of abandonment. So that's why we have the objects of abandonment together with the actual presentation of the grounds and paths, because it's on the grounds and paths that we abandon the objects of abandonment.
That
So, how does one abandon these obstacles, these obscurations? How does one abandon these objects of abandonment? It's through our practicing of the path. So there was a lama in the past, and he was thinking, so how can he explain what the grounds and paths, what the meaning of this is to people who actually don't know anything about Dharma, people who are Buddhist but they're not engaged in the Dharma, so they have very little understanding. So he thought about this, and he thought, well, so we have these grounds and paths, so very similar to a plane, so a beautiful broad plane in old Tibet. And then when the birds, the crows come in and down, and they eat the seeds that the farmer has planted, then these crows we need to chase away. So they are like the objects of abandonment. So it was using this analogy of the chasing away or eliminating the crows from the plane that the Lama was able to explain what the objects of abandonment are on the grounds and paths. So another explanation of what the objects of abandonment are came from an unlikely source. So back in old Tibet, there were these monks called the Dokdok monks. So they were monks who didn't study, and they were really quite rough and strong. And they wore their robes quite differently. They're big and strong. They often have big moustaches and walk around in a very impressive manner. So not very educated, but they worked really hard. They would, for example, they would carry the water that the monastery would need every day from the rivers to the monastery. And in the great monasteries, of course, that's a lot of water to be carried every day. And so they really did a lot of heavy physical work. But so despite not actually doing any studies, they still had to attend class and they still had to attend debate. Although they didn't participate so much, they would still go and they would still have the opportunity to hear the teachings and hear the other monks debating and the like. So one of these Dokdok monks, one of these rough and tough guys, he was asked, so what is an object of abandonment? And he said, well, I don't know, I don't study, but you know, I've been attending these classes for a long time and I've heard a bit, so what I think it is that we need to abandon these afflictions, these afflictive minds that cause us so much harm, and we need to accomplish acts of virtue which will bring about lasting happiness. So even though this uneducated and this rough, tough guy, he has never studied, he had at least been able to absorb something important like this, and was able to give a very clear explanation of what the an object of abandonment is. So to explain what a ground and path is, of course, we can't really just stay with the explanation of it being like a plane where you're trying to chase away the crows. We need to understand it a little bit more precisely than that. So the first thing to be aware of is the grounds and paths, that these refer to mental accomplishments. Grounds and paths are mental paths, mental grounds. So these are mental. That's important to understand first. And then if we again quickly go to an analogy, if we think of a farmer who wants to grow his crops very well, it's essential that he prepares the soil well, because if the soil is well prepared, then the seeds and the crops will grow very well. So this is similar here. If we prepare the ground or the soil, we prepare our mental grounds and paths very well, then we will get excellent results. And here, by results, we particularly refer to these Dharma goals of continuing good rebirths, of progressing towards the attainment of liberation, the state free from all suffering, or the ultimate goal, the final goal, that of enlightenment, the state not only that is completely free of all suffering, but where one has attained all good qualities to be of great benefit to others. So these are the great results that come about in dependence on our development of our own mental grounds and paths. So according to Vaibhashika, there are two objects of abandonment. So generally, we can talk about objects of abandonment as the obscurations. So the Vaibhashika present two. So we're at the bottom of page 5, and that's the afflictive obscurations and the non-afflictive obscurations. And the term obscuration to knowledge is not used. This is something that they don't accept or they don't assert. So this last line we have on the bottom of page 5, the term obscuration to knowledge is not used.
Jibala,
So, an obscuration. So, what are these obscurations? So, they can be likened to a screen that prevents the sun shining in. So, the screen is our obscurations or our afflictions, which prevent us from seeing the sunshine or reality. And it's because of all these afflictions in our mind that we are unable, on the one hand, to develop these fantastic qualities of the Dharma path, and they are the obstacles to our development, are these fantastic qualities of the Dharma path, and they are what these obscurations or these afflictions are what prevent us from seeing reality.
को 마바나야 타바 톱투나야 타바 토발아 키 타바 톱 톱투고 와레 마바마네 데 산지 고방 토발아 디 마바바 산지 고방 지네 토야 메디케 산지 고방 토발아 코 바시 지킹기 디바텔라네 뇨모제 마이메 디바 세아디 코 톱자딜라 아니 타바 세아당 탐지 켐바 데 니여바인자 니니 토바일레 토비알라 아니 강 가르가르 메바 쓰고 요메기 데센니 데 뇨모마 데센니 차와 줌젠데레
So these obscurations, we see here that they are divided into two, the afflictive obscurations and the non-afflictive obscurations. So these two relate to the attainment of two separate or two different goals. So the one, the afflictive obscurations, need to be overcome, need to be abandoned, so as to obtain the goal of liberation. The non-afflictive obscurations, these only need to be overcome by those who wish to attain enlightenment or Buddhahood. So those who are striving for Buddhahood need to overcome the non-afflictive obscurations. Those who are not, who are striving just for individual liberation, they only need to overcome the afflictive obscurations. So we can look here at the top of page 6. The afflictive obscurations mainly prevent the attainment of liberation, and the non-afflictive obscurations mainly prevent the attainment of all-knowingness.
Mm-hmm. なね、ニョモジバデラニョモジンジバセダニョモジマインビジバスニチェワンザね、ニョモジンジバセデガネシラゴレス、セルウチドンダロスガネシエラムナ、あね、ゾ、ゾ、コ、タムジチンビトバラ、トバラン、ジュンディチゴレ、ニュディチゴレナ、ゾガレスン、ゾ、タバトバラバデチュディキ、ジュジ。ディニギディバデラニョモジンジバラゴレ。タバトバラバデチュジラブデ
So, with regard to these afflictive obscurations, so these need to be overcome if one wishes to obtain liberation. So the afflictive obscurations mainly prevent the attainment of liberation. So that's quite clear. So this mainly shows that it doesn't only prevent the or hinder the attainment of liberation, it also hinders the attainment of omniscience, or all-knowingness rather, in this case. So for afflictive obscurations, for the attainment of liberation, it is essential to overcome the afflictive obscurations. Without overcoming the afflictive obscurations, the liberation cannot be attained because they prevent that.
So the second one
The non-afflictive obscurations. So the non-afflictive obscurations, they, as it says here, they mainly prevent the attainment of all knowingness. So therefore, for the practitioner who's striving for Buddhahood, they have to overcome the non-afflictive obscurations. Without overcoming the non-afflictive obscurations, they cannot obtain all knowingness because it prevents the attainment of all knowingness. And now what the mainly refers to is that the non-afflictive obscurations also hinder the attainment of individual liberation. But whilst they hinder it, one doesn't, the practitioner striving for individual liberation does not need to overcome the non-afflictive obscurations. So someone striving for individual liberation, whilst they may be hindered by the non-afflictive obscurations, they don't need to overcome them so as to attain individual liberation. They do have to be overcome by someone striving for all-knowingness. So then we come just down below to the illustration of the afflictive obscurations are, for example, the conception apprehending the person to be self-sufficiently existent, and the three poisons that arise due to the force of that conception, together with the seeds. So my knowledge of English grammar isn't so good, but I think this is clearer if you just change the word order a little bit. The conception apprehending the person to be self-sufficient substantially existent, and the three poisons together with their seeds that arise due to the force of that conception. So the meaning should be the same. So the example of the three poisons is, of course, is ignorance, anger, and attachment. Here we see that these three poisons, so these are minds like anger and attachment and the like. So these can be likened to, say, an onion. So you've got the main body or the flesh of the onion, which are these afflictive minds of, say, anger and attachment. But this onion, it also has the ability to sprout and to give rise to further onions. So that is can be likened to the seeds. So this onion, which is the attachment and anger, this can grow and give rise to other onions or other minds of attachment and anger. So this it can be likened to the three poisons together with their seeds.
That ဒီနေ့ညီပတ်တရားအနည်းညွန်မှချင်တယ်ပါလေဆိုလို့။ဒီကျဆွေကျဆွေဟာကဆုံးဒါကြောင့်ဆုံးလားအာ။ဘယ်နဲ့တွေ့ရှာဆရာတော်ခွန်တော်ဆရာတော်ငါကျဆရာတော်ဒီနေ့လောရှေဆရာဒီနေ့မောင်ဦးကျော်ဒီညုံမောင်ပဲညုံမောင်ပဲချက်စားတာညုံမောင်ပဲကန်တဲ့ရှင်နေညုံမောင်ချင်တယ်ပါဆရာချတော်ကိုထားပါတော့ပါလားအင်းကြီးမကြီးပန့်ကွယ်ချင်တယ်။ဒီထားပါတော့ပါလားတွေ့ရှာပန့်ကိုရဲခွန်တော်ပန့်ကိုရဲအဲ့
So, when it says here the three poisons, really the complete way to understand these three poisons is that it's not just these three minds of ignorance, attachment, and anger. It actually encompasses all afflictions. So, minds like pride, like miserliness, all of them are incorporated in these three poisons, and all of them are what give rise to these afflictive obscurations. So all of these are objects of abandonment for someone striving for liberation. And furthermore, amongst these, the main one is the self-grasping mind, this mind that grasps at the self as existing, as self-supporting, substantially existent. This is also an afflictive obscuration, and this too needs to be abandoned. So it's not. And then furthermore, so what we've seen now is we're referring here to all the afflictive minds, and in particular the self-grasping, that's grasping at a person as being self-sufficient, substantially existent. And then furthermore, we also need to eliminate what we have here, the together with their seeds, where seeds has the meaning of their potential to ripen into further such minds, into further afflictive minds. So all these afflictions, together with their potential to ripen into further afflictive minds, all of this needs to be abandoned, and all of this is what is referred to as afflictive obscurations. A foe destroyer. A foe destroyer, an arat, is someone who then, therefore, as we see here, is someone who has abandoned all their afflictions together with their seeds. So if all the afflictions together with their seeds have been abandoned, they will experience no suffering. So wherever they go, they will always be happy, they'll have no problems. So that's what's about the practitioner striving to become a foe destroyer, striving for nirvana. The practitioner who's striving to attain Buddhahood, or the state of all knowingness, whilst these afflictive obscurations, they hinder the attainment of Buddhahood, and therefore need to be overcome by the Bodhisattva who's striving for Buddhahood. Just overcoming these afflictive obscurations does not lead to the attainment of Buddhahood. They'd hinder the attainment of Buddhahood, but just overcoming them alone does not lead to the attainment of Buddhahood. Why? Because they don't mainly prevent the attainment of all knowingness. They do hinder the attainment, but they don't mainly prevent it. So the Bodhisattva needs to abandon these afflictive obscurations which hinder the attainment of their goal of all knowingness. However, that alone doesn't lead to the attainment of this goal. To do that, they need to overcome their main obscuration, which is the non-afflictive obscurations, which, as we saw, mainly prevent the attainment of all knowingness. So, therefore, the primary object of abandonment for the practitioner who's striving for Buddhahood is the non-afflictive obscurations.
Mm.
So in my homeland, we mainly eat rice and vegetables. But when we have our meals, you'll see a large plate of rice and just a little accompaniment of vegetables, really not so much. Not like we have here in the West. And the reason for that is we see the rice as being the primary method for overcoming the obstacle of hunger, not the vegetables. So if someone were to eat a lot of vegetables, people would say that's very stupid, because for eating a lot of vegetables, you don't become full, you don't eliminate the suffering of hunger. You need to eat a lot of rice. So there's this large mountain of rice, just a little bit of veg on top. So it's not quite the same here. But the reasoning can be applied here. To overcome the obstacle of hunger, or in this case, probably of liberation, one needs to mainly overcome the relevant obscuration. So in our case, we eat a lot of rice. Here in the West, no, they're more vegetables. So again from the text, illustration of non-afflictive obscurations are, for example, the latencies of the conception apprehending the person to be self-sufficient substantially existent, and the negative tendencies of the mind that arise due to the force of those latencies. So this is the main object of abandonment for the Vaibhashika who is striving for enlightenment. Without overcoming these, enlightenment cannot be obtained, or rather this all-knowingness cannot be obtained. So this these non-afflictive obscurations, which here we really see this word latencies, this is the primary object of abandonment.
Mm-hmm. 中地面吧，水不一样呀。中地面吧，水这，水那啥差不一样呀。它中地面吧，差的。中起码就泥巴的面吧，差啥的。因为中地面的，哪怕拿了下头了，泥巴的，我地哪些的，干啥大金可能面吧水，干啥大金给沙翁的面吧水吧那样，你记得中地面哪些，绝对是的下头过来，泰国，你那个卷，可，你那个泥巴，泥巴上，这个泥巴几啦，可能起码几个地步几个泥巴面对看，你那个就起啦，那巴啥是过来。
So before, when you were looking at the afflictive obscurations, we spoke about how we can liken these afflictive minds to the onion, and the seeds of the afflictive minds to the onion's potential, that potential ability to give rise to further onions or further afflictive minds. So even when those have been abandoned, so these afflictive obscurations have been abandoned, there's onion has been overcome, there still in one's hand will remain a smell of onion. So that smell then can be likened to the latencies here. And it's these latencies that are the latencies of the conception apprehending the person to be self-sufficient, substantially existent. This is what needs to be overcome for the practitioner, the Vaibhashika, who is striving for enlightenment. This is what needs to be overcome, these latencies, which can be likened to the smell of the onion of the afflictive minds and their seeds.
他第二个拉巴了呀，中美中间女巴没呢，拉巴了中个芝麻酒吧，你知道？芝麻第一个开始这个是呢，芝麻第二个我说，芝麻第那个嘞，那没得，俺就马蹄西西说呀，他，俺第二个第一个米格里亚做吧，那米格里亚都要给人钱去弄了，第二个第一个王给中个芝麻第王给弄过了呀，马蹄西西原来就当米格里亚做的米格里亚是马蹄西差的呢，第二个差的了，俺呢，你俺来才第一个，你俺来，可。 你俺那在的，的那个把车中个芝麻掉了掉呢，那个嘞，这麻地西车的，就按错话就是，没得米里亚就是，这差点用啊，用过了哇，我的念俺嘞，还是刚才让有这边自由的这边芝麻多包好了，帮着棉花擦擦完了，可以虚着是要不然的，你往给，你像什么呀，哪样的，你那个这大门的哪样了，说白了，你不能念俺嘞，这个绿的念俺嘞。
那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那个念个念，那 Okay. So now, likewise, if we continue with this analogy, so this onion and its potential has been abandoned. We're now just left with the smell of the onion. Now that smell of the onion can still affect our eyes, as onions do. It will affect our nose, we'll be aware of it, etc. So the way that the smell can still affect our mind in this way can be likened to what we see here, the negative tendencies of that mind. So what that means is that whilst this practitioner, this Vaibhashika, has overcome the self-grasping of the person as being self-sufficient, substantially existent, so that has been overcome, they will still have appearances in their mind that are not in accordance with reality. So this is now the explanation of negative tendencies. So these are an appearance in the mind that are not in accordance with reality. Yeah, and so these appearances can be then expressed through either the body, the speech, or the mind in terms of these negative tendencies. So these appearances that are not in accordance with reality, these appearances to the mind, they can then be expressed in terms of negative tendencies through either the body, the speech, or the mind.
啊，那边呢，俺这个查经吧，都写呢。他查经吧，托不查的，那牛毛吧，车上绑车，那牛毛不给，那啥帮车上绑车吧的，牛毛就给丢个绑车的。他绑车吧，那对象绑车吧的，对象就女不绑车的，是女不绑车。现在对象给绑车，有本事，你嘛呢？哎，就这么了，这么了，拆不拆吧？ 你也写了，拆不拆吧？都写这么了，拆不拆吧？就原本是你一拆吧，对象帮拆吧，你把这原本是，你一把这的往个那绿军南山，刚把这个都是呢，俺爬出去的，对吧？这个玻璃路通上，这当家学校吧，当老百姓的幼小吧，当，你那用过来，你说俺那把这的往个那个，你念下来的时候念下来，可等他没把去了，等他有呢，现在拍下的短短短那电笔给等到有把去了。
等你给查有吧，当干部有吧，那你给我嘞。等到去年没得干，那俺这个地方我让俺把着的，这等到去年嘛，老婆运作呀，当写几转小了吧，俺弟那些，等到没吧，俺都是老婆有啊，当干部有啊，天天用过来是。就像你说，俺那八下地方给你嘛给，八下有吧，在八下地去建起来，地主一过去带地给他念下来的，是你给念下来。
So a practitioner who has become a foe destroyer, as you've seen now, they would have abandoned the afflictions together with their seeds. So the foe destroyer would have overcome these afflictive obscurations, abandoned the afflictions together with their seeds. So if we take attachment, for example, they would have overcome the affliction of attachment together with the seeds of attachment, but not having overcome these non-afflictive obscurations, they will still have the latency, so it can still be influenced by the latencies of, for example, attachment. So previously, let's say this foe destroyer used to enjoy maybe playing some sport or singing and these kind of activities. Now, the way that these latencies then can ripen for this foe destroyer, this person who has overcome the afflictive obscurations, is that in an uncontrolled manner, they may their body may just spontaneously engage in playful activity or before or sing a song, something like that. So the thing here is that this is a meaningless activity in the sense that it's involuntary. And so this just comes about due to the ripening of the latencies. So they can engage in this kind of strange or unconventional behavior due to the latencies of the imprints of the afflictions. To give an illustration maybe of a negative tendency that is expressed through the speech, this could just be a sound of no meaning, like something like this. So the foe destroyer could, for no reason, in an involuntary manner, make some kind of sound like that, and that would be a ripening of a latency. However, a Buddha is of course someone then who has overcome these non-afflictive obscurations. So they've abandoned, a Buddha has abandoned the latencies of the conception apprehending the person to be self-sufficiently, substantially existent, and the negative tendencies of that mind that arise due to the force of those latencies. So that is what a Buddha has attained. So having abandoned those latencies, then the Buddha does not engage in this uncontrolled, meaningless manner with their body or with their speech. Why? Because the cause, these latencies, have been eliminated. So therefore, a Buddha won't make a strange, unexpected sound, or their arm won't go off at an angle for no apparent reason. That would be a sign of a photostory.
That bangwe ki tiba di dene chi da nyumwa jini tiba se da nyumwa jini mayimbi tiba se ni di shi sa se na na bangwe ki da lam yin nam sha lam di ka na se gongwa ki lam di ka re se di da lam yin nam sha ngwe she ba se da shi she is di re.
So that was the presentation we just had now, was on the objects of abandonment. So now we come to the second part, which is the actual presentation on the grounds and paths. So we will, of course, be on middle or near the top of page 6. So we have a chart here, which Andy will put up in a sec, which he made up. And so just to say quickly what the chart is as it comes, is it's just there's no outline here, but there's quite a lot on the grounds and paths. So it's kind of an outline.
All right. Now, Na salam ji namsha lam ji kong goye ke lam di ngone sheba tila ta ta nyumo jengi diwa paaya ta ane nyumo jengi mahimbi diwa paaya la kandu gong goye ke tawa di gara gomore tawa kumya ta kandu gine kisi ni maana ta kisi shira niwa kable na tongyo tobe tawa sikurwa na dila an dame gomya ke gomje zowa di gansa dame se diri ta gansa dame tobe lo di ta tawa dāmyā tūpī tāvā sīkuruvā dī lō dī nā dī gōṅ gōyā dī tēlā nī gārī tū sēnē tā kāñchē tūndā tāngbō lā tēvā sūṅ gī gāsā gī nā lām yū tū sūgī kēvā rās sētā tā nian tū sētā rāngjā sētā chāngjī sēmbā sētā dī sūṅ gī nā lām gōṅ tāng gāni sī gōṅ gūrē dī sūt gāchī gōṅ gūrē nā sēnām sō khāsē sā gūrē sētā dī gōr shūyā dī rī tūvā.
So to overcome what we've just been looking at here, these two kinds of afflictive these two kinds of obscurations, the afflictive and non-afflictive obscurations, how do we overcome that? That is the practicing of the path. So to practice the path, there are several things that need to be done. First and foremost, one needs to cultivate the correct view. So you'll remember from the classes on the Heart Sutra, we were speaking about emptiness as being the correct view, and it was through the realization of emptiness that one overcomes the obscurations. In this context, in the context of the Vaibhashika, the view is that of the selflessness of persons. So that is briefly referred to here, as well as the other things you see there under number one. We have the view, we have merit, we have duration, and we have result. So that's those first four are what we look at, and how we look at them is in the is within the presentation of the three vehicles, namely the hero vehicle, the solitary realizer vehicle, and the bodhisattva vehicle. So what Genda has just mentioned now is this number one, how they traverse the grounds with those four subdivisions according to each type of practitioner, the three vehicles of hero, solitary realizer, and bodhisattva. So to talk of the first one, the hero. So the hero, someone of hero lineage, I think is what we have here. Those of the hero lineage. So this is someone who has the goal to train and accomplish the paths of the hero. So we would have heard those before. The hero's path of accumulation, the hero's path of preparation, the hero's path of seeing, the hero's path of meditation, and the hero's path of normal training.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't know, so this hearer, will have the goal to achieve the hearer's goal, which is that of individual liberation. So for them to do that, they need to practice a view. So this we should have here, the view realizing the person to be empty of being self-sufficient, substantially existent. So that is the view that someone of the hearer lineage will practice. So all three practitioners, they have their own five individual paths, and those five individual paths have the same names. We just put a prefix before each one. So you'd have the hearer's path of accumulation, the solitary realizer's path of accumulation, the bodhisattva's path of accumulation. So the five paths are the same, we just put the different prefix before. So path of accumulation, path of preparation, path of seeing, path of meditation, and then the last one would be the hearer's path of no more training, the solitary realizer's path of no more training, the bodhisattva's path of no more training. So in terms of the view between the three practitioners, there actually is no difference in the Vaibhashika presentation. It's the same. So they all meditate on the person as a person being empty of being self-sufficiently and substantially existent. So whether they are of the hero lineage, the solitary realizer lineage, or a bodhisattva, their view is the same, meditating on the person as being empty of being self-sufficient, substantially existent. So now we've seen here how for all three types of vehicles, all three types of practitioners, the view is the same. So now comes the difference. So with the merit, the accumulation of merit, here comes the difference. So the merit, this is really quite different between the three types of practitioners. The hero practitioner needs to accumulate what is called a small amount of merit. The solitary realizer needs to accumulate a middling amount of merit, whereas the bodhisattva needs to accumulate a great amount of merit.
That
we look now at the difference in merit between the three practitioners. So now we come to duration. So here, for the someone of a hearer, so amongst hearers, there will be those of different capacity, you could say. Those, there are some who are particularly intelligent, who have really sharp and refined minds, and those who are less so. So there will be some spread in terms of their mental capacity. And that is expressed in this third one here, in the duration. So those who are of the sharpest capacity, in the life that they attain the hearer's path of accumulation, they will start to accumulate their small amount of merit, and they will die, be reborn, and then continue on this path. And this will go for the shortest length of time of being three lifetimes. So someone who has attained the path of accumulation of a hearer, of a Vaishika hearer, will then continue for the shortest period of three lifetimes. But those who are less sharp than the very sharpest amongst the hearers, or the most intelligent amongst the hearers, they will need to take a bit longer. So they may need four lifetimes, five lifetimes, seven lifetimes, 10 lifetimes, etc., from when they first attain the path of accumulation, the hearer's path of accumulation.
叫我继续练呢，叫我或得叫我继续把这个操啥些，等你叫我继续练才呢，等你叫我继续把地拆掉了，安尼就算练才，等你也是，然后继续练才是吧？等你叫我继续练呢，继续给得了，安尼大家没地方投入的是。但等你码头我接下来要嘛的，给你到我叫我去搞完呢，叫我继续练呢，叫我继续点掉了，大家没地方投入的是。So.
Amongst the hearers, of course, we saw now that those of the really the most intelligent, the sharpest minds, they will be able to progress from the attainment of the path of accumulation to the attainment of nirvana in just three lifetimes. Those who are at the other end of the mental sharpness, the spectrum of mental sharpness, for them it will take up to 14 lifetimes. But that is said to be the very longest. There's not going to be a hearer who takes longer than 14 lifetimes from the attainment of the path of accumulation in order to go from becoming from attaining a path in their continuum to becoming a hearer for a destroyer. So
to accumulate this merit, the hero will engage, of course, into virtuous activities. So these virtuous activities would be the practice of generosity, the practice of ethical conduct, the practice of patience, the practice of joyous perseverance, of concentration, and of wisdom. So these six we've heard of many times. And it's good to be clear that they are called here the practices of generosity, the practices of ethical conduct, etc. There's no mention of this word perfection. So when the hero is practicing, and they're practicing concentration, their main object of meditation will be the person being empty of being self-sufficiently substantially existent. So the person being empty of being self-sufficiently substantially existent is the main object of meditation, and so when they're practicing concentration and they're holding that realization with the mind of concentration, then they're practicing concentration. When they also bring in the mind of special insight, this analytical mind, then they're practicing wisdom. So when they're analyzing the self as being, the person as being empty of being self-supporting, substantially existent. So they're analyzing now, not just holding with concentration. Then they're practicing wisdom and accumulating wisdom, accumulating merit through the practice of wisdom. So if we take these six practices and we look at them in the context of the two accumulations, so if we say we have the accumulation of merit and we have the accumulation of wisdom, how do they relate to the six practices? So when this hearer is striving for their liberation and they are wanting to accumulate merit, they will do so through engaging in the first four, the practices of generosity, ethical conduct, patience, with joyous perseverance. These lead to the accumulation of merit. It's the second, or the last two, those of concentration, the practice of concentration, the practice of wisdom, on the object of the person being empty of being self-supporting, substantially existent, that practice leads to the accumulation of wisdom. So here, the meditation object needs to be this person being empty of being self-supporting, substantially existent, and with that applied with the minds of concentration, and then it's the accumulation of wisdom, and with applied with the mind of special insight, then it's this practice of wisdom, and that also leads to the accumulation of wisdom. So the first four practices lead to the accumulation of merit, the last two, the accumulation of wisdom. So if we take our refuge prayer, I'll just read it to you on page 98. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through, in this case, listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha in order to benefit all sentient beings.
Sunam Shimba, Sunam Sola, Shit, Niger, Namji, and Sayago, D. Compala, then Sayago, Toba, Chicken, Sonamji.
Did I grant Sona?
Tagi, Chinzo, give you Sonamji, Dola, Pencha, Sayo, Duba, Shalaro, Tagi, Chinzo, give you Ni, La Roda, Shimba, and Sudum, Serva, Sundu, something, Compala, Dine, and Sunam Sola, Shit, Ni. 你 sonam you saw, say, new ballet in any draw a semi tamje, the San Yokohan, Tobaj, San Yokohan, Tobaj, Jin, Sibi, to Shivo, that's all.
Then he can Yeshiki talk to a chicks and
cream. Today, he says, Sonam Gila to talk, said he, Sonam Sola, he says, Son Nigali, Sonam Gila, Yeshi, Soligo, Sonam Gila, Sola to talk in Alashi, Sola, Sonam Son Nigali, Sonam Gila, you do, Sonam Sola, he says, Son Nigali, or
is okay. So, sorry. Now, in this refuge formula, so we have there, through this accumulation of merit, may become a Buddha in order to benefit all sentient beings. So this term here, this accumulation of merit, this here carries the meaning of both accumulations. So that's something to bear in mind when reciting it.
Solam Solam that Digos said, Solam said, Solam Chu the keyboard. Chenna Digos, Sonam, you saw Chu, Sonam Tosa, Solam Chu said the keyboard. Chenna the Lamina la Shaggy Midaba, that Chu and Meta Mongo Shady, Kuin Jaya Shayondu, Tela and Taudus and Bigitaba, Taba Dela, you can't tell a goo window, can't tell a Taudus, can't tell a Tabby Taba, the Taudus and be some of the Kay Tandalia, and the Kuin Dimoja Chigorma. 其实捐的通常捐的就弱嘛对吧这里特别特别的他把这托布都是没落地他所说的那句了他把这托布都是没落地刚刚续续接的他把这人有落地接完了错了没接完了那些研究错了没接完了这个是要的
So previously in our Lamrim teachings that we're having every week, so here we've been speaking for a while now about impermanence. We've really spoken about it quite a lot. So these teachings of impermanence, we've been applying them to actually how things change momentarily, how there's no lasting happiness within samsara, and how there's nothing stable and nothing reliable that within samsara. So in other words, everything that has arisen due to contaminated causes and conditions, these are not reliable, they're not stable, they will lead to suffering. So we've been speaking about this a lot in terms of the impermanence. And thinking about this, this leads to the mind that says, I don't want to suffer anymore. I don't want to keep experiencing these same problem minds. I want to be free of the suffering. I want to have a mind that is peaceful, a mind that is free from being swayed by all these afflictive emotions, all these suffering minds. So this mind that arises, this mind that we generate of wanting to be free of suffering, this is the mind of definite emergence, the mind of renunciation. So the mind that says, I definitely want to be free of suffering. And with this mind comes a strong wish to strive for liberation. So that we have these two components, the wish to be free of suffering together with the wish, with a mind that says, I will strive for liberation. These two come. We have the mind of definite emergence, and when that is uncontrived, we then attain the path of accumulation, exactly what we're looking at here in this presentation on paths and grounds. So the doorway to the hero's path of accumulation is this uncontrived mind of definite emergence.
That ただ、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、人気、
So what have we been looking at tonight? So tonight we've seen how we've been looking at the objects of abandonment. So we were talking about those afflictive and non-afflictive obscurations. And then we spoke about how to overcome those. So for that we need to meditate on the correct view. And the correct view, as we've seen in this presentation, is about the person being empty of being self-sufficient, substantially existent. So it's through meditating on the person being empty of self-sufficient substantial existence that will be able to overcome the afflictive and the non-afflictive obscurations. And the time to do that is of course now, and as in particular when one is on these paths of the path of accumulation, the small and the middle, etc., path of accumulation. And to get to that path of accumulation, then in addition to meditating on the view, one needs to back that up or accompany that with the accumulation of merits. And we mentioned that briefly tonight, the practices of generosity, ethical conduct, patience, etc. So we have these two things, the development of the view, the accumulation of merit. So these two coming together. And we see it here on the slide as well. Now in our Lamrim teachings, we've been speaking a lot about impermanence. So how those teachings relate so closely here is it's through reflecting on how everything that is impermanent momentarily changes, and therefore it has no essence. And to develop this understanding to the point where we see how samsara itself, cyclic existence itself, has no essence. There is no lasting happiness to be found in these contaminated objects. And as we think about this again and again and again, and we combine this with our practices of generosity, our practices of patience and ethical conduct and the like, so to accumulate merit and therefore power to our meditation. So as we do these repeatedly again and again, and we strengthen our meditative understanding, and we strengthen our power base of merit, then we'll start to develop this mind of definite emergence. And this mind of definite emergence, as we've been seeing here, is so essential because that is the doorway to the paths of the hearer and the solitary realizer. So we need to develop this mind of definite emergence, this mind of renunciation, that sees how samsara itself is pervaded by having no essence. And when we develop this wish, this of definite emergence, to definitely arise from the suffering, together with the mind striving for liberation, we attain a path. And we attain the path of the small path of accumulation, the small level of the path of accumulation, and there we continue to accumulate merit through through practices of generosity, ethical conduct, patience, etc., as well as meditating on this selflessness. And in this presentation, meditating on the self as of the person as being empty of being self-sufficient, substantially existent. And tomorrow we'll continue with this presentation here. So we'll go to the middle yellow box there by the solitary realizer, and that's where we'll continue from tomorrow. Some questions tonight?
Just to point out the non-afflictive obscurations, it's said that they prevent the tendency of all knowingness, which I presume is omniscience. But I've heard that the Vibhasikas don't accept omniscience because you can't see the two truths simultaneously. Mm. So should we use the term all knowingness?
Okay. So the difficulty I'll have, but I think I can overcome it, is the Tibetan word that's translated as all-knowingness is also the Tibetan word for omniscience. But so is it okay if I ask Genla, is there a difference in the Vaibhashika understanding of all-knowingness as opposed to the higher schools? Because it's the same word in Tibetan. But it's, I think because of this difference, it's translated in our English as different, as a different word. So can I ask him for that difference? Yeah. Okay, thank you. Then again, Jadamara ki lukne, namkin ki dundak de, dang di drukta gamla, kyepa rebe.
Jadamara ki namkin se sikti peshi dangu omare, namkin se ki lingu omare. Yinik da dandala ming kagata ware mado, chue gande chi yinne, do goya chasang do goya do sarachi. Bang goya chasang meaba suya sarachi. Yenzen ka shing goya shing sarachi. That the machine was a man, the bigger chasan chicks. Manjugi Tinegi, Monsumji, Chasan, she drinking dela, Namchin level, Namchin, Namdang, Kadesina, Chasan, she was there.
In the Kondakilla, sending Angola consonamkin seki marabe. Is Angola sending Angola consonamkin seki de marabe?
Namkin like my.
Namkin Naviani. A Kubotana Jiki,
indeed,
as I getting up at no two so. So I made a mistake. It is a different word here in Tibetan. So it wasn't like that. But then again, he's starting to explain the difference between all knowingness and omniscience.
Okay.
The adempa nida namdu talk to gimares gosom.
Semji ye, ohde temba semji ye temba ni chichar do gosom do toa yomares orde yomare.
Okay, this one's okay. Okay, so other than all knowingness and omniscience being a different word, the meaning is they're just a different word. So the meaning is the same. But moreover, what you had heard is correct, that the Vaibhashika don't accept that the omniscient mind can realize the two truths simultaneously in one mind. So what you heard there is correct. But in terms of the word all knowingness and omniscience, they just use a different word, but the meaning is the same. And then this all-knowingness is also used by the higher schools as well. Okay.
Or a hero. Is there any significance to the merit created prior to the path of accumulation?
So would it make a difference if they accumulated a lot of merit prior to this attainment of the path of accumulation, or only very little? Yeah.
Is the actual accumulation of merit prior to the path of accumulation of some consequence?
Yes. Will it make a difference to this 3 to 14 lifetimes?
Yeah. Duration, for instance.
Good. Okay. Thank you. So does the merit that's accumulated before the attainment of the path of accumulation, does that make a difference to the duration? The short answer is no. So the counting of this merit, the counting of the lifetimes, really starts from the path of accumulation and the merit that needs to be accumulated from that point. So it's not directly dependent on what came before.
Does the merit actually facilitate the path of accumulation? So in other words, prior to the path of accumulation, does that merit facilitate the path of accumulation?
Okay. Yeah, so the merit that was accumulated prior to the path of accumulation, does this facilitate the path of accumulation?
Actually attaining the path of accumulation.
The merits attained before the path of accumulation, does that help with the attainment of the path of accumulation? Okay. Then he took them matop gongla, gave us a gay day, took them day, took the key pento key out of it.
Yeah. So, mother Gelmas and the Solon Tai Guinea Then, as a Gawasa and a Christopher Sanganzu, Koal and Yejun Gay, the Yejun de Gay, Shuk Chirrell, Chimbataya, Sudan Soya, Server Comia, Dusua. Then you do Chichi, then Gawa the Gays in the Shuk Chesh or the Dinny, Yejun de Dus, in some reason, Nimichila, and Gedina, Dinny Lehachimura. Ben and Azuki, Lerasure, Lerasure, Wada. Ojo, say DJ Sanson and the Jerome, Lerasaro, says your Wada. Dinny Lerase, Jay, Dipin. Saruj, Quand
So the merit that is accumulated before the path of accumulation, this helps with the attainment of the path of accumulation. So the entry point to the path of accumulation is this attainment of the mind of uncontrived definite emergence. So to obtain that, one needs merit. So the more merit one, as one accumulates merit, and one's meditating on impermanence and the essenceless of samsara and the like, as this bank of merit grows, so too does the strength behind our meditation. So this merit is accompanying the power of the meditation, and then leads to the attainment of the path of accumulation. So the merit helps with the effectiveness of the meditation. So this can be likened to someone being told, there's a big pile of rocks, you've got to carry it over there. So someone who's big and strong will carry it in just a couple of hours, and then they can relax. Others will take several days. So this, again, it's this carrying the rocks there is the attainment of the path of accumulation. How long it takes depends on the strength of the practitioner. And then that comes from the merit. Good, thank you. Yeah, Pete?
Just about language, probably, again. The word latency is here. Mm. I haven't heard that used before in the same way. But I have had a similar presentation where they would, I think, forgive me if I'm wrong, spoken of as subtle imprints rather than latency, so that the realization of omniscience must get rid of the subtle imprints of the afflictions. Can we use those two terms equally, or is it better to use latency rather than latency?
So yes, I think they're the same. I mean, I can't ask Geshe this because it's the same word. Yeah, so it's Bakchak. So I mean, I've just typed it into the dictionary, and so you get that's really tiny. Wait, I can make it bigger. No, I can't. Predisposition, latency, dormancy, tendency, potency, karmic traces, residues, impressions. There are lots of different words. Yes. Okay, then, done for tonight. Until tomorrow. Thank you.